Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. It doesn't take a lot of imagination today to realize that we believe in a risen Lord. It's a glorious truth and an important truth. Every song has pointed toward that truth, and I certainly want the Lord's blessing upon me that I might present and preach that truth to you this morning. I want to read verses 1 through 12 of Luke chapter 24. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the very Word of God. And in this book, it tells us that Jesus Christ came into this world. He lived sinless. He died literally, God's Lamb, to take away the sin of the world. They laid him in a grave, and he rose again the third day. It's my privilege to be able to read just this passage today and to preach this message that you've laid on my heart. And I'd like to ask that in this portion of the service, as well as all the others, of course, that our Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up and honored and glorified. Lord, we're thankful that He's alive today, and we know it. It's real in our lives, and we'd like for it to be real in a lot of other lives. And I want to pray that Your precious will be done in every heart and life of each one that's in this place today. And even as we go forth from this place today, might we share then that which we know to be true with some other folks that don't. And Father, so bless the reading of the Word and the preaching of the message. And glorify Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. For I pray in His name. Amen. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Certain others with them, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now as they were afraid and bowed themselves or down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. There's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. No wonder he's wondering, because he saw nothing but an empty tomb, an empty grave clothes in that tomb. I want to just entitle the message like this, He's Not Here. He's not here. There are times in our lives whenever we'll make it a point to go to someone's house and we knock on the door or ring the bell and there'll be somebody come to the door and we ask for that person and they say, He's not here. I want us to kind of get that picture today. That here's a group of folks that are coming to the grave, to the sepulchre. The angels, they did not hear. And he said it in such a fashion that he wanted them to understand that they should have known better. But let's think for a moment. Christ was betrayed, as the passage tells us. Our Lord, time and again, had said that He would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. If you begin to count time from the time that he was delivered, you'll find out that when he stepped forth from the grave, or came forth from that grave, there is the exact time that you need. He fulfilled exactly what needed to be fulfilled when he came forth from the grave. But he was betrayed. He was delivered. He was judged and condemned. And that's the truth we need to have in our minds today. There's a world of skeptics out here that would like to hide the truth that Jesus Christ really died for sin, according to the Scripture. But it's the truth we dare not abandon nor forsake. There's a fellow named Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea, who begged the body of the Lord Jesus. Went to Pilate. He asked for that body, and Pilate was rather surprised that he was dead already. But when he confirmed it by those that were under his authority, he said, "Give him the body." They took down the body, and Joseph put the body of our Lord Jesus Christ in his own new tomb. Joseph was like some of the rest of us that had made some measure of pre-preparation for death, and he had, no doubt, some workmen to hew a grave out of a stone, and actually a stone cliff, and had even seen to it that there was a very appropriate door, a great stone that would just roll over that opening and close that tomb. And this man, because he loved the Lord, and this grave was close at hand, and the preparation day was almost gone, and things had to be done before sundown. The Jewish day starts at 6, basically around 6 in the evening, and is from our keeping of time, and nothing then could be done or should be done after that time. And so he saw to it that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was put in that grave and was taken care of to the best of his ability in the moment that he had to do it. And there were then those that came to Pilate and said, "This man said he would arise again. And we want that tomb secured." I like what Pilate said. He said, "You've got your guard. Make it as secure as you can." I don't know whether he had an inkling that what the Lord had said would come to pass or not, but he said, "You just do the best you can." What did they do? They put a seal on the stone so that it would be evident if it was broken. And they set a guard to keep that tomb. If you know anything about Roman soldiers and the accountability that they have, they would have watched that tomb very carefully because it could mean their very life. If that tomb was opened, that seal was broken, and the tomb opened and a body was retrieved from that tomb. So they made it secure. They sealed it, and they set a watch. But I want you to know that it makes no difference how secure you might make that tomb. It'll not hold Jesus Christ. There is a real death that is before us as we read from this text today. And the Bible tells us that there had to be a real death. It was not a mock death. It was not some sleight of hand or some magical trick as we might think of it today. Jesus Christ had to be delivered for our offenses. The Bible tells us he was raised for our justification. But God's Lamb was slain, as the Bible had taught that he would be slain. I would challenge you sometime to read through these four Gospels that we have in the New Testament, and then turn back over into the Old Testament and read Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, and begin to see what those Old Testament prophets really saw, and what was expected and what would be accomplished that day, and the agony of that cross. But our Lord was delivered, and he died as God's Lamb. And the Father is completely satisfied, and we know that today because God raised him from the dead. And he's declared to be the Son of God with power. And we know that because he was raised from the dead. And that would tell us today that he has power to save today. The Father was completely satisfied with the work of the cross. There was nothing that Jesus Christ lacked doing that He needed to do that sinners might be saved. The Father's completely satisfied, and over in the book of Acts there's a passage, and I like the thought. There we are told that all judgment has been committed unto the Son. And wouldn't that be a mockery today? And wouldn't that be a crazy statement to make? If Jesus Christ was not alive to judge, Jesus Christ was put in charge of all judgment today, and He lives today to save, but also to judge, to evaluate every case. My, what a glorious truth today. Our Lord did die. Now the women that came to this tomb, they came prepared to anoint a dead body. It's indicated in the text, and if you'll read all of the Gospels, put it together, you'll find out that the Lord had foretold His death, His burial, and His resurrection, but somehow or another they just not grasped that truth. You say, my, they sure must have been dense. Well, we'd have to say the same thing about ourselves. How many times have you read a passage and read a passage and read a passage, and all of a sudden it lives to you, and you say, my, I've never seen such before in my life. Here it is. This is real. This is truth today. These women, they came to prepare, or they are prepared to anoint a dead body. And they had seen Him buried. And they expected a body in the tomb that day. But they came to the grave and the stone is rolled away. And that leads me now to the third point that I really want to make today. They're told they're looking in the wrong place. They're told that they're looking in the wrong place for Jesus Christ. First of all, they're wrong in their preparation. They should have been prepared to meet a risen Lord, but they're prepared to anoint a dead body. So the angel said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? I want to challenge you with that same thought today. Why would you seek Jesus Christ among the dead? The living are not among the dead. Not in the sense that they're in the graves. It's been my responsibility to do a lot of funerals as a pastor. One thing about it, when we went to the cemetery, we always leave the body and the preacher comes back. Because I'm still alive. I realize that if Jesus Christ should so extend the time between now and when He comes long enough, then one day you can take me out there and you can leave this body in the grave, but I'll still be alive and I'll be in His presence. But the idea is that you're looking in the wrong place. He's not here. He's not among the dead. The Lord said while He was on earth to some that He had challenged to follow Him. Let the dead bury their dead. Do you realize that in a world where sinners dead in trespasses and in sin, that the only thing that they can do is to bury their dead? But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can bury our dead with a hope that beats within our bosom today. One day the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God shall sound. And the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then those words. Wherefore? Comfort one another with these words. An unsaved world out here, don't look there for Jesus Christ. Don't look among the dead, because the best that they can do is bury their dead. And they do so without a hope. And there's not anything that's more heartrending to me than to think that we'd have to put a loved one in the grave with no hope. I realize that almost everyone here that's lived any length of time at all. They've been touched by sorrow in some fashion or another. And some more than others. And I realize that this morning, that lives have been touched. But thank God for a hope today. We don't just have to bury our dead, but we do so with a hope. One day we'll see them again. They will see them again. The dead can only bury the dead. So quit looking among the dead for life. Find your life in Jesus Christ. I go on and point out to you that He'll be not found in dead religion today. And I'm persuaded that there is a difference in religion and Bible Christianity. A lot of schemes fit into the definition of religion today. The truth is that even the world pretty well has adopted a religion today. It's called humanism. And by and large, the most of folks today are saying man can just fix all of his problems if we just put it into the hands of these that are rather smart. They'll put together a system one day that'll work. We realize that a lot of things we put together have not worked before, but we're going to get it right this time. And that man is capable within himself to take care of all of his needs. But I want you to know that you'll not find Jesus Christ in that. And you'll not find Him even in what is designated sometimes as a house of God. A lot of religions are dead today because they're still looking to one who is still on a cross, never had the declaration of victory to come forth from the grave. But Jesus Christ did today. You're looking in the wrong place. He'll not be found in dead works. That's almost invariably the first place that everybody turns from an unsaved standpoint. If you ask them, are you saved? Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm putting forth every effort that I can. I remember some of those days in my life that I worked and I worked and I worked till I was absolutely exhausted. And I was absolutely no closer to peace in Jesus Christ than I was the day I started. And neither are you if you're looking for Jesus Christ in dead works today. Where this morning will we find Jesus Christ? Well, I want to share just a few thoughts with you along this vein of thinking. We find that these women, really, even though they were honest and sincere, and they loved the Lord, that they wanted to anoint His body, they're looking in the wrong place. Where are we going to look today to find Jesus Christ? It'll be rather elementary, but I want it emphasized again this morning. I want you to know that you'll find Jesus Christ in His Word. There is a book that God has seen to it that we have in our possession today. I realize that there's a lot of books today, a lot of libraries. But from the standpoint of a lost sinner in need of a Savior, there's really one book that he can look in. And look into. That's the Bible, the Word of God. I want you to know that it's a book that will present to us and for us the truth of one who spoke us as well as all the rest of it into existence. Read Genesis chapter 1 sometime. I'm talking about with a mind to perceive the truth, and you'll see that there was an order and God said, let it be, and it was. Got down to the sixth day and the Lord put together a man. Breathed into his nostrils a breath of life and man became a living soul. Find that man soon in rebellion and sin. God said the wages of sin is death. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, thank God. In that same verse that said the wages of sin is death, said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is a promise in this book today had a man years ago that was under conviction about his need. He was concerned about his soul, at least. And he said, "I don't know what to do." He said, "I've tried making professions, and just to make an empty profession will not add anything to you. I believe that there's an honest confession of Jesus Christ whenever He has saved our soul, and we ought to honestly confess Jesus Christ before men, that He might confess us before the Father." But he said, I don't find any peace. And he said, "What do I do?" The advice I gave him was this. I said, "Begin to read the Word of God in a constant fashion. Expose yourself to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God at every opportunity. And I am persuaded that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. And that there will be that invitation, that sweet invitation, to believe on the Son of God." Sometime later, even after he had left this place and gone on to other places, he came back with a testimony of God's saving grace in his life. But I want you to know this morning, you can find Jesus Christ in this Bible this morning. I want you to know that you can find Jesus Christ in His church. Now, the Lord said He'd build His church. And there is a group of people that God will recognize today as His assembly. It won't be one out here that's far out in left field that has this philosophy that we're just on our pilgrimage and we're going to become gods one day. A lot of folks have adopted that attitude today. Picked up that philosophy, but they'll be just as lost at the end of their life as they were the day they started that pilgrimage. I want you to know that there is a group of people when they meet together that Jesus Christ said, "They're meeting in My name. I'll be in their midst." I'm not ashamed to invite folks to this place, this assembly, because I believe God meets with us. I'd go do something else if I didn't believe that. I believe God is meeting with us today. You're closer than you thought when you think about it. Oh, today, you can find Jesus Christ. You'll find Him in the church that He put His approval upon. And of that church, after He'd given the Great Commission, said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That would meant that if that church would stay in the place that it ought to stay, doing the things that it ought to do, honoring Jesus Christ as He really is, the risen Lord, that He'd have His approval on it all the way through. There are churches today that He's written Ichabod over the door and said, "The Lord, and the glory of the Lord is departed." But I present to you that you can find Him in the place where His approval is. If I could broaden the picture for you for a moment this morning, where are you going to find Jesus Christ? You're going to find Him at the Father's right hand. Of all the priests that you can study in the Bible, you come to one that we are told has a priesthood, and it's likened unto the priesthood of Melchizedek. And I don't have time to develop that story except to point out that this was a priest that Abraham met and gave tithes to. But the Bible said of that man, Melchizedek, he didn't have any beginning of days or ending of time. Now I realize that that Melchizedek was on earth, and that what it was, there's just no record where he started from, where he ended. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has a priesthood. You can go traced all the way back, and it was assigned to Him. In the beginning was the Word. Go back before there was ever a beginning of creation, and there was the Word, and He had a purpose and a plan, and we've come to a day whenever He would come into this world by way of the virgin's womb. He would die on an old rugged cross, and they'd lay Him in a grave, and they'd shout and be glad that He's gone. But He'd come forth from the grave. But in the process of events, and I just conjecture this, that somewhere between the time that He came forth from the grave, He met the first and said, "Don't touch Me. I'm not yet ascended to My Father." And He met Him again, and they could touch Him. that he had gone into heaven itself with his own blood. This man, we are told, had a far better sacrifice than that of bloods of bulls and goats that could never take away sin. He entered in once into the holy place, not on earth, because bulls and goats' blood could satisfy down here on earth. But that was only a portrayal, a picture, a type of that which is in heaven. And Jesus Christ went into the place in heaven, presented himself with his own sacrifice. The Bible said he sat down, finished work, never to be repeated again. You can find Jesus Christ, the Father's right hand, because he's been accepted. And all that he's done has been accepted. He can be found by faith today. There are three times in the New Testament that an Old Testament passage is quoted. The just shall live by faith. We find it presented in the book of Romans, the just. Paul, as he wrote to the Roman church, dealt with the matter of justification. And he said, it's not of works. It's not in the efforts of man. It's not in circumcision. It's not in the law. It's going to be another means of justification. Shall live. Quoted in the book of Galatians. And a region where there were several churches. And those churches had been influenced to the point that they had turned from Christ. To the point that folks were saying, you have to be circumcised. You've got to come back under at least some of the law to receive the benefits of Christ. And he's saying you need to live like you started, by faith. You get over to the book of Hebrews and he gives us a picture of faith as he names men and women, one after another, that their lives pointed out that they could walk and did walk by faith. Enoch, he walked with God, was not because God took him. Noah, one day, told you need to build an ark. There's a judgment coming. He began to labor by faith. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. But I quote one verse and I'll go on. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But the basis of it is Jesus Christ, his finished work. You can find Jesus Christ by faith today. Admonition. Quoting our Lord, seek, and you shall find. If you're like the woman of Samaria, and you're here today and you're thirsty down in the depths of your soul, you have taken a drink from the wells of this world, and you're still thirsty, look to Jesus Christ. He said, I can give you a drink that will last forever. And he said, it'll just well up in you and begin to come out. Seek and you shall find. Jesus Christ this morning is among the living. He's not here. Looking in the wrong place. He's among the living. Look to Jesus Christ, the one who lives, to plead your case today. You're going to face him and deal with him one fashion or another. I guarantee you that. You will deal with Jesus Christ one day. I would prefer, and did so in my life, precious truth. One day I was privileged to bow my knees, yield my heart, and call upon the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's sweet Spirit gave me that assurance to know that I'd pass from death unto life. And I dealt with Jesus Christ because He had dealt with me. I knew I was guilty because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I was convinced of Jesus Christ by that same Holy Spirit. As I realized His death was my death, He lived to save my soul. She say, I'll leave all past and I'll just take my chances. Who do you think is going to sit at that throne and on that throne that John spoke of in the book of Revelation? And I saw